Blog Talk Radio.
Maybe you're tired of the waves that come and knock you off your feet. I'd long to see you on a day when you won't drown. The constant dragging and deceit, your hands been tied and there to greet a life that's bounded to a world that keeps on taking their seat. Maybe you're tired of the strains, the lonely highs, the constant rains that seep right through you on the days you're coming down. Maybe relying on horizons where the skies they fill with diamonds ain't surprising that the love that you have lost is in your mind.
Where we go, we'll take the highs and lows with a smile. We seem forever free from here.
Maybe you're tired of the waves that come and knock you off your feet. I'd like to see you day when you won't drown. Maybe the answer lies beneath these scattered words they put our streets, and now the lights without the power flicker on into the light.
Where we go, we'll take the highs and lows with a smile. We seem forever free from here. So where take the highs and lows with a smile. We think forever free from
Well, hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to a team of voices. I'm your host, Crystal Hope, and I don't know why it seems like it always been a while, but maybe it really hasn't. But tonight, we are going to be doing fall poetry because it's the first day of fall, even though I hate to say that first day of fall is not valid in Louisiana where I live. So, but we do have a cool day today, so maybe I can do fall poetry in legit, but yeah. But anyway, that's what we're going to do tonight, doing fall poetry and stuff, and yeah, let me go ahead and grab people that know what fall is, because I know they live in Ohio, so hello, Stephen and Kay.
Hello, unfortunately, can be with me because we had some things go crazy and we ran late, so she's in the shower right now.
Oh, okay. Well then, hello, Steven.
Oh, yes, it's been an extremely fall-like day today. Like, lower 60s, very windy, rainy. Nice.
I wish I knew what that felt like. I got upper 80. That's nice. Yeah, like today it was actually in the 70s, like more closer to 80, but that's good in our book. It's good in our book. So like, and I even thought about that. I was like, I'm doing full poetry tonight, and I was like, can I even do it? But then like today it decided to be a lot cooler, and I was like, well, I guess I can. But it doesn't mean it's gonna be for the rest of the week. But I was like, but today is cool, so I was like, okay. Let's do some cold poetry then.
Yeah.
So have y'all been? You okay?
Doing good. Things have been crazy since, I don't know, I'm moving up the ladder fairly quickly all of a sudden. So I received another promotion. So I have longer days now. But we have so much more funding now to do other things too, so it's kind of cool.
I know what you mean. Like when my whole schedule switched and stuff, I was working nights. Now I'm working a normal 9-to-6 job, but like I come home tired. That's why like everyone wants to know where I am on the podcast. I come home, I'm tired. I'm a preschool teacher now, so I work with kids for 9 hours a day. I come home, I'm tired. I don't feel like doing anything. Come home tired. So like, yeah, they were somewhat okay today, but that's because I took them outside for 2 hours because I was like, let's just go outside. It's beautiful. Let's go get all your energy out. Sleepy. But yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I got a surprise for you.
Okay.
Kay rushed through her shower. She's with me now.
That was quick. Well, hello, Kay.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. I was just telling Stephen about that I can actually talk about fall today because it was cooler where I'm living. It's been in the upper 80s, close to 90, and now today it was in the 70s. I was like, okay, so I can do a show on fall and not be sweating or something.
Exactly.
I see Deb in the studio. Let me go ahead and grab her. Hi, Deb.
Hello, everyone.
How are you doing,
Deb? Congratulations, Stephen.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, now I smell like fish every day.
It's a good job. It's a good job. It is. Seriously.
I bet Kay has you walk in the door like, take a shower. Don't hug me. Don't do anything. You smell like fish. Go take a shower.
No, except for the cats won't leave me because the cats swarm me when I walk in.
Because you smell good to them.
I didn't even think of that either. I'm like, I'm about to claw around on top of you. Like, where's the fish? Where's that? All right. Well, I know you and you two need to read and run. So I'll grab your poetry now. Yeah. I know y'all got a show. Before y'all read, do y'all want to plug your show real quick? Over at
Yeah, tonight is the Poetic Killings at 10 p.m. Eastern, and we're looking at George Orwell's Animal Farm. We have quotes from the book to write to. Should be a fight.
Always is.
All righty. Okay, I got your poem on the board.
Okay, thank you. This is an oldie. I call this Line of the Scent in the Autumn of One's Life. Fresh out of the oven, don't whisper about little hands sneaking in, taking a cookie. Ribbons upon straw and worn faded days. Middle grade, schools of golden twinklings of pushed and pinned. Sun glares peeking in through uncurtained patches, mist in the thought of nostalgia upon weary thoughts. Strands of seedlings, back countries of soil, of hazy visage, souvenirs, or of tinction. Power of outward appearance is a plantlet, window dress in the fabric bunton of self. Cherry reds, pestilence of seed haunts, blanch in the brindle, betwixt nature's calling, woefully heated. End poem.
Yeah, I was reading the little, I guess you call them hashtags or whatever they are. I mean, one of them was saying nostalgic, because that's what this did give me, was like bits of nostalgia. Kind of like, it's like a nice, crisp fall day, and like you're either have a child or you are a child or something, and you go and just sneak into getting into the cookies, get a cookie, and like sit out and look at the changing colors of the leaves and stuff, and or when you get off the school bus or something like that and you see all the different colors and things. That's just like, especially in the first stanza, that's what that gave me. But yeah, this definitely does give a lot of like bit of nostalgia kind of thing, but also just like a lot of imagery too, because I'm just picturing, like, as you read each line, I'm just picturing more and more colors and more I don't know, just kind of like the backwoods, back roads, things like that, like you're out in the country type thing. But yeah, I think it's absolutely beautiful. And I love that worn faded days. I don't know what it was about that line or that right there. I liked that. Great job, Kay.
Thank you.
And before I get a comment, let me let Frank in the room. I guess I have to.
Hello there. Hello there, my friend. Hello there, my friend.
I wasn't going to leave you stranded by the door.
Oh, yes. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Sure.
Okay. At least
yeah.
I can.
Oh, okay. All right. I just want to know, because sometimes my phone just fades off at times. So if it does happen, you know, it's not my own fault. It's not of my doing.
I mean, I wouldn't think so if it's a phone.
Yeah.
We just read Kay's poem. Okay, just read hers. I'm going to start my comments with Stephen.
Well, yeah, I like to see that just that as a fresh out of the oven, don't whisper about a little hand. James was always and my big hands were always have to steal the dough before it got cooked.
Yeah.
But I really like this, and yeah, I told you in my comment it speaks of days past when James was young, but it also comes into bittersweet memory of those who have moved on as well. But it's a beautiful write.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Steven? And Deb, your comment?
Well, I have to say on this one, Kay, it grabs you right from the get-go with those cookies. Fresh out of the oven, don't whisper about the little hand sneaking in, taking a cookie. And, like, what mom has, or dad and dad, haven't had that child come in to grab that cookie off the cookie tray. So you set a mood right there just with the thought of the smell and the smile on the child's face, and you pretending not to look while you gaze out the side of your eye, catching them, get the cookie. So it was like a really endearing beginning. And then with the phrasing, like sun glares peeking in through uncurtained patches, strands of seedlings, backcountries, the soil, the visuals paint the picture all the way through. It's a parlor of outward appearance. What was the other? Oh, cherry reds, pastoral, the teeming of steeped haunts, blanching the brindle. And I'll stop saying lines, but I love all the details and stuff, but I'm totally, totally taken by that little endearing scene that you started this one with. Great share.
Thanks, Deb.
Great comment, Deb. Yeah, I was just thinking how many times Deb says, I'll stop taking lines. I could do a compilation of how many podcasts of her with Deb says, I'll stop taking lines.
Hey, wait a minute, though. Sometimes I say I better shut up before Skype yells at me. So, you know, it might be a really interesting compilation, just saying.
Well, like, I remember Hatter saying that he was going to do Bella's of how many times she said, then go home, or like, or whatever, and like, you do a compilation of that. So I'm like, there is, I've heard you say that several times. I'll stop taking lines, and I'm like, Deb, you're not, you're good.
Yeah, well, if you got those kind of skills, Crystal, you can dazzle us with it sometime.
Okay. All right. Frank, did you get a chance to hear Kay?
I didn't hear the poem, but I've heard her read this poem before at her Bowen Stevens show.
Okay. Would you like to comment?
I'm trying, my dear. I'm a little slow today. I'm sorry. I just thought the whole the visual. I agree with what's been said. The imagery in this poem is very, very powerful here. You know, I'm drawn by, I think I said this before on Stevens and Kay's shows, about the transient of seasons, you know, what comes with every season that passes is a sense of happiness, but there's also a sense of sadness because, you know, we're ushering in another season, and what that means as well is that we're ending another season. And I like I just like the whole notion you bring here. Of course, there is a personal attachment to this poem, which speaks of a family here, of family memories here. But I like, overall, I just think the poem really had this, you know, although it did seem a bit morose, I did feel that there was a lot of introspection in this piece here, a lot of reflection as well. And I really like the fact that you were able to do that because you really are, and you're really, how would I say the word? What you've put here are very much memories here of experiences that you shared here, family experiences here. And I really did like the poem and the whole concept of the poem. I thought it was, as I said before, that it was a fantastic write. I said that, well, I'm not sure if I said that one before, but I did say it was a great poem. So hearing it again is another treat.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment, Frank. And now Kay's got me wanting like some warm cookies right now. Like that sounds good. Like I just all was talking about it, and then I just imagining just a warm cookie in my. Okay, we need
no chocolate chip cookies.
That must be you, Crystal, because if you look on the board, Marius wants to know if it can be Big Hand sneaking those cookies too.
I saw that. I thought it was cute. And you're like, oh, look out, Kay, Marius is after the cookie. I guess Marius is going to be a cookie monster, probably. Well, thank you, Kay, for bringing that, the beautiful poem. And, Stephen, I've got yours on the board.
All right. Yeah, Marius actually a poem for too, because he was talking about the cookies.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I had my lunch out on the deck, and I wrote this after I was done with my lunch. Kay was in here taking care of the kids, and this is basically what I saw as I was sitting on the deck. So yeah, it literally was on the eve of autumn that I wrote this, so I call this On the Eve of Autumn. The wind pushes waves through the grapevines veiling the deck, seeping into the gaps and tickling my arm that rests on the plaid tablecloth covering the old wooden picnic table. As I gaze upon the large orange squash decorations in the flower bed. An occasional leaf breaks past and flutters to the floor, skittering across sealed pine and into the tomato plants that have exhausted their harvest for the year, save one green piece of fruit that is begging to be sliced, breaded, and fried. The sun comes out from behind overcast skies to shine upon the buried shrubs that hide the aging shed from front yard view. No songbirds are heard as they are resting from their toil of finding friends to fly south. The season's last crickets and katydids speak to each other in a constant chorus as the gusting breeze trees making the sound of waves crashing upon a chilled, abandoned beach. Emerald shades still outnumber the crimson tangerines, but autumn is there.
You know, you were bringing up the whole thing about this was just what you were writing when you're eating lunch. And I remember doing a contest on my poetry a long time back, probably a few years ago. I told people to write, like, what was in their backyard or what were they seeing at the moment or something like that. I've seen other people do that on my poetry as well, but I really loved when I did it because it was interesting, all the different things that, like, people, like, I know that when we're writing, usually we use our imagination or we're inspired by something we've seen at one time or another. But sometimes just to sit down and just look at what's in front of you and write about that, you never know, like, what kind of magic that you may write. And I kind of, like, sense that with this. But, yeah, I really liked the beginning of it where you talk about just, like, the plaid tablecloth or on the old picnic table. Like, I'm imagining all of this. And then imagining the fall decoration and smelling the pine and seeing the colors and things like that, or seeing the fruit about it being, which that didn't surprise me when you started bringing up every way the fruit could be sliced, breaded, and fried, like all the food, of course. But I really like this. And I also like that part of the constant chorus of gusting breeze, bend trees, making the sound of waves crashing upon a chilled, abandoned beach. Because I'm then to just hear the ocean, and it just kind of like there's that chill in the air, like when you go to the beach and stuff, and there's just like, it's like early morning, it's like in the middle of fall or something like that, and it's like there's a cold breeze, but it can still be at the beach and still has like, kind of feels like you are. But yeah, this to me, I really enjoyed it. Like, the imagery, it's spot on.
Thank you, Crystal.
You're welcome. And let me grab Hatter real quick before we get any comments. Hello, Mr. Hat.
Hey, Hatter.
Hatter. All right, we just read Stephen's poem, and let me get a comment from Kay.
Well, yeah, I like this because a lot of the times I sit outside quite often on our deck because, you know, there's so much around us. Your deck is very heated off of all the trees that are around us. So I get to just sit there in privacy, do my own thing, and listen to nature around me, hear the birds and like the crickets, and just see and hear things. So I like what this brought, because you got to experience what I get to almost on a daily basis, with sitting on the deck and just eating your lunch. It was funny how you came in and said that, oh, I wrote because there is something to be said about just sitting out in nature and just in what's around you and just let it, you know, absorb. There's a lot of inspiration that you can find from doing that, disconnecting from the world and connect to what's around you. And that's what you get. Beautiful.
Thanks.
Do I just hear a green fried tomato reference?
That's what I was talking about, fried green tomatoes, yes. I have one big green tomato vine that I'm going to slice and fry.
I even thought about that, too, the tomatoes. I was like, is that what you're talking about? Because I was like, what fruit are you going to fry? But the only one I could think of was, like, tomatoes. All right, well, great. Comment Kay, and let me get a comment from Deb.
I thought you were going to save me for last so I wouldn't steal all the lines.
We're past that.
Okay. Such an amazing image of a place we would all want to sit and have lunch to, from the decorations for fall, which, incidentally, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say orange squash decorations, so that was quite clever. You know, you always hear about pumpkins and maybe gourds, but orange squash decorations is a very clever twist there. And the mention of the harvest for the year, and then the sun becomes overcast. Oh, the sun comes out behind the overcast and shines, and I can just, like, feel it hitting the face. And only one more. No songbirds are heard as they are resting from their toil, finding friends to fly south. And that sort of made me think of the fact that they sing less. So there was a lot in here, but again, I say, by the time you got to the end, it just seemed like an exhale. It would have been a great place to you know, have lunch with them, you know. So great share.
Thanks, Deb. And yeah, it actually was very cloudy that day, and right before I wrote that stanza about the sun, the sun actually did peek out from behind the clouds and shine on those shrubs.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'll put that in here.
Cool.
Awesome comment, Deb. And Frank, your comment?
Yes, I have to say that this is a very exquisite write. I really enjoyed, I mean, the whole concept there, I think much of it was Kay had said about, you know, spending time out there with nature and exploring your mind, your imagination above all, to inspire you to write. I definitely agree with that. There is something special, something beautiful about nature that is so inspiring. You know, I'm so here for a mat, and I'm sorry, my lip curtains up. I have, you know, elements of nature that sometimes, you know, inspire me as well. I really thought this, what was amazing about this film was that you're able to collect thoughts and use the metaphors here to describe basically we have it on your deck there. And what was amazing about that is that, that we can, you know, gain from such visual this poem, of the imagery, of the enjoyment of nature, and that was something I really gravitated to this film. Yeah, the poems, Kay and Stephen, your poems were excellent pieces, and they are, you know, of really the reality of what is another passing season there, and you know, to take time to really the friend that we're missing here, which I was a little bit disappointed was no reference to the corn dogs and the language.
Well, what I had for lunch was a BLT. How's that?
Oh, there we go.
Gas station sushi? That's what it should have been. Chevron sushi. That's what it should have been.
I mean, Stephen goes to the languages there and the corn dog.
Thank you, Terry.
Great comment, Frank. Hatter, did you get a chance to hear Stephen's poem or no?
I was so busy. I did catch the green fried tomatoes comment, and I knew I had to comment on that.
Okay.
<That's cool. laughs>
Would you like to make a comment?
Was that to me? No, there's a long pause. Was that to me? I don't know what I'm doing. Am I posting mine? Is that the thing?
What was that, Hatter?
I was having trouble hearing you. You broke. There was a long pause after you said something. I didn't catch what you said. Was it turned towards me? Am I supposed to be doing something? Because I didn't hear.
Well, I just wanted to
I asked
if you wanted to comment or no.
Oh.
If you had a comment or
no,
anything.
No, I think I've said enough. Yeah.
Okay. For me. All right. Well, that was an awesome poem, Stephen. I don't know how much longer you and Kay are going to stay, but I already had y'all plug your show and everything. So,
We got to take off. Got some things to do before the show. But thank you for having us. And y'all
have a good
night.
Thank you for joining.
Yes, indeed.
Not respect.
Respect.
All right, Deb, I've got yours on the board.
Thank you. Okay.
Excuse me.
This is called Jewel Trinket. Oops. Huh?
No, no,
what was that?
She said, did she say Deb? I didn't hear what she said. I'm sorry.
She just wanted me to read my poem.
Okay. Okay.
It's called Jewel Trinket Box Tokens Lead to White Winter Wonderland. And here we go. As feet crinkle dried leaves on an afternoon walk, woodsy cologne floats on the crisp air. Topaz tints the floating white blobs dotting the skyline as I stare. Bursts on the on the sky now yellow spirals in the cantaloupe hue. Tangerine, lemon, and caramel kiss the butterscotch pigments as the colors avalanche blankets the emerald view. All the squirrels and groundhogs forage, stocking up the winter supplies, packing acorns in hiding places from surrounding wildlife eyes. Brown bears prepare hibernation dens for the cubs rustling over the prime snuggle spots to sleep. Crickets rub violin wings, and the birds on the elm branches peep. Another goose, yeah, mother goose squawks to eight goslings swimming inside the tree-lined brook. Father corrals soggy feathered siblings, then all the tiny tear feathers shook. Acorns pounce, then the bounce falling, so Mother Earth's pavement trinkets box wears copper kettle color pieces, ruby garnet and goldenrod leaves. Then the sidewalk creases till chilled winds whisper to the lake of the snowfall heading in to whitewash the town, leaving the ice skaters counting on Jack Frost to set the stage by icing every pond and stream around. And poem. I'm glad it was my own poem I butchered.
Oh, I have done that on multiple occasions. So, like, you were good. I was chuckling along with you, and you kept saying, Mother Goose, I was chuckling along with you. So, you're good. Yeah, I really like this one. It definitely gives me kind of, I don't know if I would say children's kind of right, but just, like, maybe just, like, one of those, like, something that you may hear on, like, TV or something like that. Like, if you're watching some type of nature show, it'd be like, here's Mother Goose and all her little gooselings or something. Like, I don't know. I think of that. But, yeah, you have just everything. This picture doesn't do it. Like, if you were writing to the picture, it doesn't do justice. Like, you brought life to it. Like, you brought life to everything with colors, with bringing in the animals, the sky, the trees, the nature, everything of it. But I definitely have to say I love the tangerine, lemon, and caramel kiss, the butterscotch pigments, with color avalanche blankets, the emerald view. So many colors in that one small little stanza, and I'm just imagining each one like it's almost like it's a Bob Ross painting, pretty much, like all the different colors. But I think that this is just beautiful, and it, especially with the colors, it screams Deb with the colors, definitely. But yeah, I love the way that this just came together, the imagery just all in my head, all the colors and everything. And the other thing too, as soon as you read the title, I first just said wow, because I was already amazed by the little trinket box tokens to a white winter wonderland.
Thank you so much, Wilson. And on a side note, you've been very, very, very missed. Just saying. And your poem last night was wow.
I was telling Stephen earlier, just like, even though my job switched, I come home tired. I sometimes will drop a poem thinking I'm going to call, and the next thing I know, I'm in bed, and I'm, like, ready just to go to sleep. And I'm like, I'm not going to call. I'm like, I'm going to sound horrible, and I'm like, and I'm just like, I just go to bed. Yeah, I work as a preschool teacher now, so I come home from kids, and I'm just tired. I'm just tired. Like 9 hours of kids,
awesome,
and I'm done.
Though.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. And I must admit that I have assumed when I saw your poems on the board when you didn't call that you fell asleep. So it's all good.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If your new job's making you happy, then we're all happy.
Yeah, I try my best when I do call. So I'm like, I tell myself, I'm like, I should call. I should do it. I'm like, I don't fall asleep, fine. But, yeah.
Sometimes that pillow just beckons.
Well, my problem is as soon as I walk into the door, I'm like, go straight to my bed, and I shouldn't be. Well, I eat something first, and then I go straight to the bed, and I'm just like, sometimes I'm used to, like, showering. And I'm like, I should go get up and shower. We have to do something.
Yeah, well, if our inanimate objects could speak, your pillow would say to your blanket, she thought she was going to call the show and read a poem.
It probably wouldn't say that. Well, Deb, let me get you. Frank, what did you think?
Well, first of all, I have to congratulate you as well. You know, I got the right,
Hello?
Hello?
Frank drop?
I don't hear Frank anymore.
I don't either.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't drop.
No, can you hear me? Hello?
We do now.
There you are.
Okay. I mentioned that I had warned that my phone at times is going on. I really enjoyed the imagery, and the metaphors were very colorful. I really saw the display of your crayons here. Exquisite, right? I really did like the whole wholesome nature of this poem here. How much you describe, I mean, that's a mouthful for me to even say the title there. But you said so much with your metaphors here that I thought it was exquisite lines here. I'm not going to choose which ones in particular. Because I usually don't. I usually focus on the entirety of the poem, and I really like the prompt as well. It's a beautiful prompt that I picked. I think you did justice to it. You did. You brought it even more to a greater beauty than it is.
Thank you, Frank.
Oh, you're welcome.
Great comment, Frank. I'm laughing at Marius on the board. He was saying that the woodsy cologne floats air. This almost took my mind away from the cookies.
Cookies.
Almost. Dang.
Oh, this is great. Okay.
So he must be craving cookies.
I know. He's just really after those cookies.
Hello.
I would laugh, though, if he, like, told us later he went to the store to buy some cookies or something. But it wouldn't surprise me either.
He could tap him there and put a giant cookie there on the board there.
Oh, I did put a cookie earlier, but it wasn't a giant cookie, but I did put one earlier because I thought it was funny. Hatter, you want to make a comment on Deb's poem?
Yeah, this is one of the strange and rare occurrences that I had a time hiccup. You're reading it, and I'm going, is this the collab? Because it seemed just about the right length, and the lines were put together in a similar fashion, I thought. Then you hit caramel, and my mind stopped right there, and I said, oh, wait, pay attention, follow along. And then you went squirrel, and I was gone.
So you're blaming the squirrels and the butterflies, huh? And
yeah.
The caramel.
Yeah.
Thank you, Heather.
It was a very good write. It really reminded me of the collabs. I don't know why. I was looking for the picture in my head.
Huh. I love that photo.
I do too. It's just like, it just flashes the color. Especially like the colors of like the or like normal fall colors like orange.
Up in New England states, it gets that bold and beautiful.
Yeah, it's very Kincaid-ish. Kincaid does that light source very well. Like the rain. Mm. Right, Kincaid?
Yeah.
Thomas?
No, yeah. It's actually a photograph. It's a photograph. It's reality. It's not painted. It's not. It's just a snap.
But it certainly looks like one.
Yeah. That's New England in fall.
So you're walking. You're walking down the road. Walking down the road, and you see that. What do?
You snap a picture.
I was going to say you take a picture.
Yeah,
yeah,
but you know what? That's supposed to be dark in the woods. You gonna go check it out? Okay.
I'm not going in if it's photoshopped or something.
I don't care how pretty it is. I'm not going in when it's dark.
Well,
it's just not overpowering light, but it's fully. I mean, if I can't see my hand in front of my face, you ain't getting me in there. But that's gorgeous. There's really not a sidewalk under there. It's just a dirt trail. But the sidewalk, just I needed something to go with the to rhyme with pieces, and so I needed a sidewalk so there could be creases.
That's one of the last things Travis Walton saw. Okay, let me know.
Did a joke just fly over my head? I'm sorry.
More of a reference. Okay, Travis Walton. Doesn't click with anybody, huh?
No.
Like the guy who left the store?
But like I
don't know. But thank you.
Okay.
Poor Hatter, he's like, this is awkward now.
Stephen would have got it. I know Stephen would have got it.
Is he a chemist?
Yes, Stephen left earlier. It's just Hatter, Deb, Frank. That's the people we got on here right now.
I don't know who it is, and it does sound intriguing.
Travis Walton.
Hmm?
He was abducted by a UFO in the woods.
Something came on my head there that I was trying to figure out. That I know you were. I heard that name before, but I don't know. I heard that he's something about nature, but I didn't know what it was. I don't know. I didn't know the whole background of the story, but I did hear that name does seem familiar to me, but I don't know the whole scope of the story, but I do recall something of that name.
Yeah, Fire in the Sky, I think, is the movie that was made of it. And there's been a lot of short little documentary shorts on YouTube that you can go listen to about the Travis Walton and the his abduction went down. And like I said, Fire in the Sky, it's a movie they made of the story. One of the most best documented and puzzling cases there was. Anyway.
I'll check it out afterward.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. You get hooked on it, you have to read it all. It's very good. Sorry, Crystal.
Hey. You're good. I'm just listening. I mean, just because I'm the host don't mean other people can't talk. That's not the way that works. Otherwise, it'd be a very boring podcast.
Yeah, but I can tend to get a little wordy sometimes.
All right. Thank you, Deb, for the beautiful poem. And Frank, I've got yours on the board.
Yes, mine is a poem I recently wrote. It was for Stephen and Kay's show, Poetic Rank of Life. Just by mere chance, I chose this one here because it was related, of course, to the theme. So this is a poem that I call When I Breathe, and it goes like this: the morning breeze carries from the cluster of the tawny leaves,
cutting in and out.
That's the last.
Yeah,
okay.
Cutting in and out.
Let me try one more time here.
Okay.
the crafter of the pony. But by take flight. The dead.
You're still going in and out, Frank.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Yeah, I do apologize. If you can go ahead and read. I'll defer to read my poem.
I don't know what it was. It was when you were reading, it goes in and out, but then when you're talking, it's not.
Yeah.
Try one more time for us. Just try one more time.
It's almost like I'm going to have to scream. You know?
you don't have
all right,
to
I'll give it one. I'm sorry. Only because of my phone.
Just try one more time, Frank.
Do you want me to read it? I can try. I got my eyes.
From the cluster of bony leaves, heaped in a crisp pile, the harmonious sound of the arrival of a fresh season. The sunlight appears as the last butterflies take flight into the sky. The dahlias wave a sad goodbye with the pretty petals, as the weather brings the sudden change of a lively nature, a soothing season amidst and mellow softness, the canvas of the colors of rebirth. The fountains of the gardens are full of the midnight rain, and the smell of the paprika emanates upon the surface of the grass. The migrating birds are seen below the bubbling clouds. It is when I breathe the air of autumn in the poem. And I do apologize about that. I'm sorry. It's never really,
no, you're good.
Really
I can
happens.
Tell that you were trying to rush it, though. I could hear it in your
yeah,
voice.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You were like,
yeah,
oh,
I know. Yeah, I'm sorry. I had no other report.
I feel like you put break on fast forward.
I had no recourse there. I mean, it's that time of it. What it is that time of month when my the bike down. You know, my phone and my connection at times is not good. On the real matter, but I tried.
Well, I get it about the bad signal and stuff like that. I have the same exact thing too. So. But yeah, I do. I need to talk about the poem. I do love it. I love the title too. When you just like, and all it is when I breathe, because it's just like, and it is when you start getting that, like when it's time for autumn and stuff, and like it starts getting chillier outside, and you just have like this. Sometimes, especially when it rains, it's just like this cool dampness and stuff, and there's like this dampened air. And you just breathe, and you can just smell the pine and the bits of like of damp leaves or anything like I said. If it's just, I don't know why I got rain vibes, but yeah, I think that this is just beautiful. Maybe I got the rain vibes from the soothing mist or soothing season of mist. Maybe that's where I got. I don't know, but I love the also the canvas of colors of rebirth. I love that you brought in a canvas because that's often what the colors of fall just make me think of. Kind of like we were talking about Deb's picture that she used and it looked more like a painting because that's often just what fall looks like. It just looks like a painting more than anything else. But yeah, I love just all the, I don't know, every single color, every bit of image that you give, do this and stuff. Also, this is a word I have seen myself use, but I have not seen many other people use when you put from the cluster of tawny leaves. I don't see many people use tawny. I once used it once and Sky was like, well, I've never heard that word. And I was like, I knew what it was. And then she started using it. And I don't know. Well, I remember that though. But yeah.
I'll give you one word here. I'll give you one new word. You want to learn a new word here, which is a beautiful word, which means silence. It's called clum. L-U-M. It's more used in Europe than it is here. Clum. C-L-U-M means silence. So when you want to throw in a word, a creative word there, go in and throw the word clum, which is silence.
Huh. I like that. I know that I once went through a phase for about a year or so, maybe a couple of years, where I just kept looking up new words. And people kept like sending me messages and telling me I was misspelling words, and I was like, no, I said this is an actual word,
yeah, no.
And they were like, no, it isn't. And I was like, yes, it is. I was like, I looked it up.
I had that.
Like I was
I
like a human dictionary at the time.
The other day, I put a word because I put in the word at times fastidity, which is basically vastness. It's another word. It's an obsolete word for vastness, you know, fastidity. And somebody thought I was misspelling the word. I know. I said it's an actual word. It just means vastness.
I have used that one before. So as soon as you said it,
yeah.
I knew what it was. But I don't know.
Oh, there you go.
Maybe there's just some ignorant people.
You have to be creative at times because you do find yourself, you know, repeating words, you know.
I definitely say I have been in that rut where I keep using the same words over and over and over again, and I need
to get back into trying
to find different words to use.
I don't have time to be creative at
times. Using the same adjectives, same colors over and over again. I need to stop.
There we go. Yeah. I love the sentience, you know, I love, you know, senses. So if I repeat many of these words that I write, because I like throwing in my poems, you know, whether it's lyrics or whether it's prose, or, well, actually not prose, but poetry, if you want to call it that, I like to throw in a lot of sentience in there, you know, senses. Mm-hmm. And that's where I go the route of throwing in the imagery there through the metaphors, which I don't use much, but only when I do the senses.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, it's
okay,
an amazing poem, Frank. Go ahead, Hatter.
Thank you very much, I appreciate it.
Okay, the gardens are full of the midnight rain and the smell of the petrichor, right? That's the smell of fresh rain? Is that right?
Yes, basically the petrichor is basically out, you know, when it stops raining there, that's what you get the smell from. So basically the smell was the rain, was the midnight rain. In the morning, it was the smell that was left over from the midnight rain.
Yeah, okay. I could never remember it. I could never remember the word. I constantly try to remember it. And the glum. Clum.
Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah,
what
clum,
was that
it's
for?
Not in here. What? Yeah, clum means silence. It's an old word. It's really obsolete. But you know, sometimes you throw in words like for you, for example, you use a lot of rhyming. And in my day, when I first started writing poetry, I would throw in like these really absolute short words because they would fit in my rhyming scheme. So clum,
yes.
C-L-U-M, would be able to rhyme with glum, you know, glum being glum. So I would throw in clum with glum. So these are just words there you just find that really not used much, but they fall in well into your rhyming scheme if you do rhyme. I don't really rhyme anymore there, Hatter, but when I used to rhyme back in my days, I wrote like 207 poems of rhyming. I would throw in occasionally words that were, you know, short words that would fit in with other short words to rhyme. And clum was one of those, you know. Cluster is another one. You can use cluster with many other, you know, you can find these words there, you know. They might be a little bit obsolete, but then again, there's nothing wrong with throwing in some new words in there, you know.
Oh, no. Anything to expand the well of rhyming words, because I'm notorious of writing the same thing at fields sometimes. But I got caught one time making up a word.
Oh, what was the word, if I can ask really brief?
I don't remember. It was back in the early days of the radio, and I thought I could get away with it. Gress was there, and get back there. So,
but you know what? There's nothing wrong with coining a word there, Hatter. I'll leave it here. There's nothing wrong with coining a word. There's poets who've done it throughout history. You know, there's nothing wrong. There's words that we've coined. You find them in the Oxford Dictionary or in the Webster Dictionary now. There's nothing wrong with that.
You can explain and describe an upcoming line and fill in the word as long as you've got the imagery there, and sometimes it works. It doesn't matter really what you put there, and then have the rhyming power behind it, usually on the first rhyme word, not the second. It works. It's a break. That's what I thought I had done. Gus was just giving me the business, I think, because it fit. The imagery was there. Yeah. But that was interesting. That
I think it's all about not putting any limits on you when you do writing. I mean, you're never going to satisfy everyone. Just go ahead and try, new words. There's nothing wrong with that. You can do what I used to do, put a glossary at the bottom there, and just, whoever's interested, if they're really interested in the words, they'll learn. If they're not, they'll just pass by the words, You're never going to conform everyone to your poetry or to these words, regardless of where they come from. Someone's interested in knowing, they will know, just what Crystal was saying before. If they're not interested, they're not going to want to learn.
I always feel sometimes that you guys would know I forced that in there because that's not a word or a term I would normally.
You know what? I don't really concentrate too much on that anymore. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I don't really, nowadays I don't really look at, the precise words per se anymore, because I take in perspective, I stop looking at, lines, per se. And I go for the entirety of the poem there, to try to, to make comments there. So that's how I do it. But you'll find some people who will be pickpocketing, poking there, for this and that, And most of the times they do it either to, help you or in other cases to reprimand you. Not to reprimand you, but to, make light of your lack of understanding or lack of knowledge. But, you cannot don't get caught up in that game, my friend. You do that and you're really going to be second guessing there. So just go ahead and do your own flow, do your own thing. And, I've always said everyone has their own audience. Crystal has her audience. You have your audience. I have my audience. And in the end, that's all that matters.
I think I'm going to go back making up words. It fits. It rhymed. the shorter words that the shorter words, the four-letter words that that are rarely used. That's a good.
Yeah, you can always find words out there. You just got to look them up there and find them how you can rhyme them, and that's basically how I used to do rhyme back then when I had time. I just don't have time anymore to rhyme. I do miss it, but I just don't have the patience as well to get into it anymore because I'm so pressed for time. But even in that, when you're rhyming, you can always throw in words and, figure out, just throw something in new, that can go, alliteration, you don't have to rhyme. You can use those words for alliteration as well,
Yeah, I was gonna spend these coming holidays, set myself free of rhyme. I'm going to write nothing but free.
Yeah,
good luck on that. Waters. See how it goes.
Good luck.
Yeah. And Becky Fissel.
Sorry.
You're good. I literally had to just go grab my charger because my phone was going to die. And I was like, oh, that doesn't need to happen.
Oh, God. Next time, hit me with the frying pan there.
Oh, no. But I was listening, too. I thought it was funny, Frank, when you were saying, I don't have time to rhyme. And I was like, you literally just rhymed. I don't have time to rest.
Yes. But I didn't do that on purpose there.
I was like, well, he does have time to rhyme. He just rhymes. But I know, I think it's just for everyone to, whatever their forte is and stuff. I don't try to rhyme, but a lot of the times I will start writing and it'll just happen. I don't.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if it just
with
flows,
me,
I'm like, okay, I'm just going to let it.
With me
but
at times, it just comes up forced.
That too. But I know that there have been times where I have just wanted to write reverse, and I have. And sometimes it comes out, and I'm just kind of like, it's okay. But then sometimes it comes out, and I'm like, what did I just write? Like, wow, this is amazing. But that's just the way I think that it goes. And what you were talking about, everybody having a different audience and stuff. And it is that if people want to learn a new word or if they enjoy free verse or rhyme or whatever we're doing, that's what they're going to do. So.
Yeah. You know what I ran into the other day was I settled for some near rhyme, and I thought it worked and flowed, but there were other people that have a different accent than I do, and they caught it right off the bat.
On certain occasions, sometimes you can get away with it. They are. I've noticed very few occasions here where there are poems that have near rhymes. Or, you know, unless you really strictly, you know, look at them, you know, and you will know. But sometimes you can get away with that. I've seen poems here that have a near rhyme. They're not 100% rhymes, you know, but they are near rhymes.
Yeah. Yeah, they're better written second, in the beginning of the stanza. Don't end with it. You don't have to. The near rhyme, of course, it's going to be near rhyme. It's one or the other, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But they caught it immediately. I didn't get away with it because just the California accent, the way I talk and the way an English for somebody from England would. So.
But you know the English accents are very, very random. You know, people don't realize that the people and you know, this is not only in England, but every country has, you know, random accents. But in particular, England, there are many accents here in England. You know, everyone thinks it's just a general standard, but you know, most of the accents in England are very hard to understand for many people because they're regional. So there's not one, the typical one they call it, what they call it is RP, which is, you know, the renowned pronunciation. And that is the one that typically you hear, you know, through the, you know, BBC. You know, but, the, you know, if you get out there and you go to different regions, they have their own accents. You won't even understand half of the people there. And they don't even understand half of the times, you know, their own, you know, when they step out of the little regions there in England there. There is, it's very hard typically to make one English accent there. So they themselves might not even understand each other because of a different vowel, you know, accentuation that to another person from England, to their region, sounds completely different. So you're not off there. You know, you should have told him that when you spoke to him. I don't know who told you that. You said, well, yeah, but I know that in England there's a vowel shift in certain words that don't seem like they rhyme, and they rhyme somewhere else. Rhyme in some other parts. That's the next, if you ever come across that book, just go ahead and tell them that.
Yeah, I was upset the first time. I think it was Susan Allert. I'm not sure, but she said, "Oh, I like how you use near rhyme here." And I had written something that I thought was solid. I thought it was solid, and I go, "Near rhyme? What does she mean near rhyme?" And so I'm going over. I can't. I went to somebody. I don't know if it was Deborah or Chaos. I said, "Do you see this comment? Does that mean?" Because I don't know how to respond to it. And then I realized she was English. And then went to,
It's just a matter of, you know, some of it has to do with preference as well. But I'm gonna shut up now because I'm getting scolded here.
Because
I got to run in about a few minutes.
Okay.
No, you two are fine. You two are fine. I mean, just like
you're gonna throw me into jail
just...
already there.
That's my key. Open. I'm just not saying anything. I'm sorry, Deb. You want to comment on Frank's poem?
Oh, she's there. I didn't know Deb was there. I'm sorry. I thought she had gone.
I know. That's okay. I just forgot all about the poem. It's been 100 years since it was read.
Sorry. I thought you had left.
I can just picture Crystal trying not to doze off, waiting for one of you guys to breathe so she could say hello. I just decided to talk to her on the board. But no, the poem has such gorgeous visuals, especially in the middle stanza, the dahlias wave a sad goodbye with their pretty petals as the weather brings the sudden change of a lively nature. a soothing season of mists and mellow fruitfulness, the canvas of the colors of rebirth. I think even if you did nothing but that stanza right there, it was already a gorgeous piece. And then the fountains of the gardens are full of midnight rain. It's just a really gorgeous piece of poetry. I love the descriptors. Fantastic share.
I appreciate that. And with that, I'm gonna pick my key there and leave the show. I've got to get prepared somewhat for Stephen and Kay's afterwards, a little bit there. So I'm going to take some time off for right now. It's a great time. I always enjoy the time, Crystal. Hope you come back on the routine again and once more. Congratulations on your new job there.
Thank you, Frank, and thank you for writing and everything.
No, I try to make sure every time I can. Well, then we'll just take care of everyone.
Night, Frank.
All right. Night, Frank.
Take care, my friend.
All right, Hatter, I am going to have you read yours, but I'm going to have you read yours after Marius, because Marius has been on the board a while listening, and I want to make sure that he goes ahead and gets his read.
Okay.
I do have his SoundCloud. I got to go up and find it again. Okay. There you go. I got it. All right. And let me drop it on the board. And let me hit play.
The summer is slowly passing, and the green is dying. The garden of flowers loses its color. The white stalks slowly, slowly are being lost in the heights. Tomorrow's world will be much duller. The scent of the flower perishes in the steam at dusk. It smells like a dry, baked rust. In grandparents' yard, under the beam, a deserted nest already misses the cheerful swallow. Up on the house's chimney, one stork, almost lost, looks around melancholically for the last time. For the mountain's sheepfold, to the village, the longing shepherds descend with their sheep. Caterpillars wreak havoc on the orchard. Orderly, the good soldier, set out their crusade. A small leaf rise, scared of falling under the strait of the wind. The old trees are more and more troubled. Yesterday they were full of life. Today they are rusty and tired. The evening is coming earlier and the sun is getting sadder. A cricket, guitarist, it's grieving. The rain is getting colder and the clouds are getting grayer. The vast plains are dry, burned, withered. From the hill, the autumn slowly walks down towards the valley. It's on the way for sure. There's no other way.
This is still going. Like, I was so absorbed in it, like, with the music and the words that I was reading. I don't know, my mind just went elsewhere. Like, I just was absorbed, I guess, in his world, just this beautiful world of autumn. I mean, but really, okay, I won't make any more jokes after this. I will talk seriously, but it shouldn't say autumn is coming. It should say cookies are coming. That's what it should say. Bringing it up, but I'll stop there. But yeah, I really like this, especially like the different rhymes here and there, because like at one part it's rhyming at one one way and then rhyming in a different way and stuff. But, yeah, I love the, part that I see that I really liked? Oh, I liked the, it smells like dried baked rusk, but almost like in the parishes in a steam of dusk. I loved that. How the part I really loved, now I found it. I'm being a dev, I'm picking up lines. A small leaf cries, scared of falling under the strength of the wind. That's just a thought I've never really, I guess, thought of. I often just think of, like, leaves fall and stuff like that, that it's just a change of in the wind and stuff like that. Like, you have to change, you have to let go. But if you were thinking from the leaf's point of view, they're used to the growth on a tree, staying on the trees and stuff, and slowly they're dying and falling off the tree, and suddenly there's this strength that's just hitting against them. And if you think about it, like, imagine that as a metaphor of a person, that sometimes it's really scary to let go, especially when the force is hitting you. But I really liked that thought, and I may ponder on it some more, but yeah, I think you did a great job, Marius, and thank you for bringing this and doing the SoundCloud. I always love your SoundClouds. They're awesome. But yeah, let me get a comment from Deb first.
Well, for starters, I'm always in awe of the amazing audio clips that people make for us. And this was a really, really great clip from the background to the read. I like listening to him talk. He's got a great voice. The scent of a flower perishes in steam at dusk. It smells like a dried baked rusk in grandparents' yard under the beam of deserted nest already misses the cheerful swallow. And there is something really sad about the trees when all the leaves fall off and you see the nest and you realize how many little critter condos are through the trees that now lost their protection from the leaves. And I think that his wording there pulled that into my mind, those deserted nests. And I never really thought about them as missing the critters that live in them, but it's a perfect description there. And caterpillars wreak havoc on the orchard. Orderly, the good soldiers set out in their crusade. A small leaf cries, scared of falling under the strength of the wind. It's like stepping into the role of the leaves and the creatures and the sights and sounds around him, and reminding us that from the other point of view, the change is coming for them as well. It's not just the temperature and the color on the trees. It's life and a circle for a lot of these critters. And one last thing. Ooh, I love the cricket guitarist is grieving. I wish I wrote that line. Great poem.
Amazing comment, Deb. And Hatter, your comment, and then I'll put yours on the board.
Okay. Now, when this is being read and I was listening to it, there was a line that triggered lyrics to another song, and it sort of hit with me, and stayed, the tune stayed with me, which is a wonderful thing inside my head. But, Crystal, you mentioned a line, and then you went to Deb, and I said, okay, that's fine, because it's the same line I'm going to use. But then Deb hit it also. A small leaf cries, scared of falling under the strength of the wind. When I heard that the leaf falling and scared of falling in the wind, all I could hear is all the leaves are brown and the sky is gray. I went for a walk on the sun on a winter's day. And with that tune in my head for the rest of it, it really, really fit, really flowed well. I loved it. Thank you. So that's what my comment means when you go, what does he mean by that? Yeah. You have to listen to the show, too. Yeah. Okay.
Interesting.
So I just go into it? Okay.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
You, You had me thinking on your comment, and that's why I was like out of it.
Yeah, you go ahead and read.
Okay. Anytime there's a long pause, I think you're talking to me. Okay. And you know what? I just realized I didn't fix the end of it, so it's incomplete, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's all about the fall. It was fall I loved when I was young. Baseball ending and football's just begun. Cooler weather brought warm cocktail drinks, Irish coffees, and slipper with butterscotch dressed in pink. But as I got older, fall brings the fear. It could happen, though, any time of the year. Not yet cold, but certainly not as hot. Fall will bring the rain, put out the fires that we got. Watching the year get closer to end, I will raise my paper cup for all the loves the fall. Remember to listen. I've fallen and I can't get up.
So
fall
like,
being something totally different.
I was just all up in your full poem, like you bringing out the colors and like how the change of year and stuff like that. And I was getting serious about the, I don't know, because like in California, the fires are just awful. Yeah, but then at the end, I'm falling and I can't get up.
Well, fall means something.
There are probably kids today that have no idea what that even means, and I feel so bad for them. But I love that you put that in the end, though, that you brought in all this kind of like serious, but then you gave us a little bit of a laugh. But yeah, I was definitely thinking about like that fall will bring the rain and all those fires and stuff. Because I will say it does that. Not necessarily fires, but like if we don't get any rain around here, that it will just continue to be hot. Not necessarily the way the South goes. It will just get hotter and hotter until we get some rain, and then it will start cooling down. But I like all this and stuff. But I also like that you do bring up about of that fear, because it made me think of Marius's poem again about the leaf and stuff, about sometimes the different changes and things of that sort. But yeah, I think you did a great job on this.
Thank you.
I've fallen and I can't get up. All right, Deb, your comment.
Yeah, I too wasn't expecting your ending there. I agree. But as I get older, fall brings the fear. It could happen through any time of year. Not yet cold, but certainly not hot. Fall will bring the rain and put out the fires that we got. I hope so. So even though there was rhyme and flow, and I was waiting for something different, I fall and I can't get up. And the thing is with that, Hatter, it struck me funny for a minute, and then it wasn't, because with what you're going through, the plausibility of you falling and not getting up and having to wait for our dear Joy to come and help you, it isn't funny. So it was like, it was a mix of emotions.
Yeah. Yeah, it sort of happened the other day. I still have a lot of upper body strength, so I don't worry too much about that yet.
Yeah, no, I remember you saying that you were okay because you still had upper body strength, but sometimes there's nothing to grab a hold of and you go down and that could be bad. So that's, you know, I fall in and I can't get up. Then you don't even have your, what is it, med alert or your little necklace to push the buttons.
I got a crime fighting suit I could put it on. No, I don't have a medical alert.
Well, I'll put it on your wish list.
I could put it on the servant's quarters. As long as I'm near the servant's quarters wall, I could pound on it.
Great comment, Deb, and great poem, Hatter. All right. I've got Phil's on the board. I'm going to do Phil's. and Budo's and mine do the announcements, and we're out. So let me go ahead and...
Sounds like a plan.
Grab pills. Sounds like a plan, exactly. Grab pills.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Autumn's Symphony. September prepares to conduct a concerto with fallen leaves. Attracts the evening song. Sultry tones of raindrops fall on musical notes, carried away by the wind. End poem.
I don't know why I was expecting more. But maybe it's because I'm so used to going going. Like, I have seen Phil write brevity, but it caught me off guard. I don't know. But I mean, I can't say anything. I write a lot of brevity and stuff, and I know people have often told me, like, write some more, and I'm like, I can't. It didn't come out. But I do love that title, though, Autumn Symphony. But I love it any time I hear a poem having to do with music. Putting music and nature together, that just sounds like a perfect poem to me, but I've written a lot of them myself. So I love that he just brings in, like, talking about the falls on musical notes carried away by the wind. Just, I can just hear the music that it's bringing, and just like, and it can, like, the different, like, patterns of fall and stuff like that, especially with the raindrops and stuff, like a raindrop feeding off a roof, especially a metal roof, can often bring some type of musical song or something of that sort, some type of music in some way or another, or even just the wind brushing against trees or something like that. There's just sounds everywhere, and often people have put them in songs, so it makes sense. But yeah, I really enjoyed this, Phil, and I always love that you're doing SoundClouds now, because I love hearing your Russian accent. this is great. I'm going to start with Deb.
Well, I think I agree, for one, that I was like, wait, more, because it's such a joy to listen to him read his poetry. And with that aside, there's what, 27 words in there, 26 words, and he got front page pick for that, and like, that's hard, because to be able to say so much with just a handful of words is a talent. And although he left us wanting more, the solitary tones of raindrops fall on musical notes, the thought is really vivid, so it's fantastic. But still, we want more. Great brevity.
Do you know why they call it fall, not autumn?
Because you can't get up?
Yeah, can't get it in. No, besides the obvious, the falling of the leaves, the reason it was done was poets, story writers. It was easier to use the fall. And autumn, by origin, means the start of the twilight of your life, maturity of your life. So, interesting.
Thanks on that matter. Awesome comment, Deb, both of you. And thank you, Phil, for your wonderful brevity. Like I said, it's always a pleasure. Like, Phil is just somebody that just hardly ever misses a show. If he starts missing several shows in a row, I'm going to be like, where is Phil? Where is he at? This isn't normal. Because he's always there. He's always writing something for someone's show. But, I mean, and he's awesome for that. Let's see. I've got Budo's on the board, and then we'll do mine. Hatter, can you read for Budo?
I can certainly try, yes.
Okay. I know what you mean by certainly try. Sometimes Budo uses some words I'll stutter.
Okay. It's called Dappled. It's like this. Under a nylon rainbow lies the unburnished truth bared to the underneath due to become one breath. A seismic shift in proportions, invisible transient chemotherapy and tongue-tied crosses. Dappled colors, transformations, eradicate gray doldrums, opining trees in whispered tones. The trolley captures this stillness as it hovers towards its destination, revealing true bliss in the shadows. End poem. Didn't turn up too bad, though.
No, you didn't. You did really, because, like, even I was like, yep, that's what I would say. Yep, that's what I would say. So, like, I think you did well on that reading. You did very well.
I did.
Yeah, I love that ending, though, about what the trolley captures their stillness as it hovers towards its destination, revealing the bliss in the shallows. Like, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's why I like the part that he brings up a trolley, because a lot of times people will say a train, not really a trolley, so I like that he used that word. But also, I also love the whispered tones, but I often use whispered myself, and I love using that word. I like the whispered tone. Or even dappled isn't really a word I see that often, but I like it. Dappled color. It's kind of like little splotches of color here and there. I really like what he did with this and just bringing out the little bits of color here and there. But just like he described more than just the picture. Like he brought this. What was that, Hatter?
I was just saying, sometimes reading cold, it's harder when the metaphors are really strong, a real cryptic chemotherapy and tongue-tied crosses. I almost tripped all over that invisible transient chemotherapy tongue-tied cross. But I enjoy the hell of it. I got to go back and read it again, even though I'm the one that read it. Just make sure I caught it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Sometimes when I read something, I don't capture it right then and there. But yeah, I really enjoyed what Budo wrote, but I often do enjoy a lot of the things that he writes. But I still love that about the trolley part. I think that's my favorite line. But yeah, Deb, you have something to say?
Yeah. This is a really interesting brevity. For one, I like the title because it sort of fits with that photo, Dappled. It's got that kind of look. And before I go to my favorites, I love the opening line, under a nylon rainbow. I've never heard a rainbow called nylon before, so that's really, really original. Plies the unblemished truth. Really, the opening. But I like the second stanza there, a seismic shift in proportions, invisible transient chemotherapy and tongue-tied crosses. It's like, wow, where did he come up with this wording for this? It's totally original. Transient chemotherapy and tongue-tied crosses. And then that ending, reveling true bliss in the shallows.
You are spooky.
Am I?
I was, yes. I was just reading.
Okay.
I'm going to mention that.
Love you too.
Okay.
But no, there's just something about the words and this brevity that the originality is oozing from it. Really, really, really clever metaphors. Great brevity, Buddha. And if I disappear, the battery's dying.
Okay, you're good. Hatter, do you have anything else to say? What poem?
The only thing I would mention, and I know his mind is in music, and there's a lot of math in that. Your lines have to have the right numbers in it. I felt the reveling, the true bliss in the shadows, to extend that shadow, reveling true bliss in the description shadows, the questioning shadows. I don't know why it cut off too short for me, but he's probably got the math in his head of the song. That's probably something you can't do. I'm not sure. But other than that, it's I love the way he writes. The strong metaphors. It's just I'm happy I got through it. Thank you.
Very well, Hatter. And thank you for the comment. And let's see. Okay. So I've got mine on the board. I read mine, get comments, and then do the announcements. I got all the poems. I was making sure I got all of them. I was pretty sure I did, though. All right, so this is, I described one. I have a lot of autumn poems through all of them. I just picked one. This one's called Autumn's Butterfly Beauty. Orange auroras of sunlight beckon autumn's beauty upon her. Etched and traced in maple foils inside mother's plate of nature's bird. Her wrists naked, a mist in pale skin, flutterbys wrapped like a gingery bracelet. Matching the arrays of autumn colors, snapped around, they just fit. Her attire sewn together with the finest of golden apple, pumpkin, and crimson leaves. An autumn beauty was what she was, and in the fall of nature, she was received. End poem.
Great gravity, Crystal. And I'm going to let Hatter go first, because if I steal the flutterbys part, he'll have a conniption.
I love the ending, but there was something in the beginning. Etched and traced in maple. Yeah, beauty upon her. Etched and traced in maple foils. Is that... Can you describe that a little more? Is that when you mosaic with the tinfoil, carotid foil? Is that what you're describing?
I guess if I would say etched in maple foils, because like foils is another one of those words for like leaves and stuff. So I think I was meaning like, because you know like how maple syrup's made from like bark and trees and stuff. That's where I was going with that.
Yeah, stirred. Got to stir that stuff. Excellent.
See that? That maple foil was a squirrel and took him right away from those butterflies. Because not too many people use that term. I hear Hatter use it, but I thought it was cool that you did. But I love the very first line.
Orange
sunlight beckoned autumn's beauty upon her. There's something about that orange auras of sunlight that's really gorgeous, and it really captivates this picture, Crystal. And at the end, her attire sewed together with the finest of golden apple, pumpkin, and crimson leaves. It's just a gorgeous, colorful brevity and totally doing justice to the photo and you can almost smell the apples and the pumpkins, and it's just a great autumn poem. And I love that she's got like a butterfly at each hand, and it's just gorgeous, gorgeous, right? Multi-award winner, great share.
Thank you. No, I think I used the flutterbys because of Hatter, because that was around the time everyone was using flutterbys. So... I think this
You know what? I went on an in-depth search of that topic, and I am totally wrong. Butterflies is a term that was a description of how it was said in French. Was butter. It sounded like butter, and so the English adopted that sound. The French terming for a flutterby, it sounds like butterfly. So there is no regulation to, they never called it flutterby. It was always butterfly, or the French term, which sounds like butterfly. Just Just want to clear that up. I was wrong. My whole life I feared I should have left it alone.
Man,
you were
Crystal,
from
mark the calendar.
Or...
A guy just said he was wrong, and Hatter did it for the second time that I Watch out for a storm.
Uh-oh. But to me, it still is a beautiful word, like whether it actually is or not. But I like saying it, flutterbys, because like, I like saying butterflies, but there's just something about it. I don't know. We can use it. It's like what we were talking about earlier with Frank about, like, people come up with their own words or hookup words or things like that. Like, so what? Use it, even if it's not exactly legit.
I think there's times that it's more appropriate. Like we do a Wonderland poem or something like that, or an Oz.
Oh, yeah.
Flutterby would probably do it.
Yeah, especially if you're doing something more in the fantasy or something more like a magic, mystical kind of poem. Go all out with, like, using, like, I mean, like, because look at Dr. Seuss. A lot of his stuff, you have no idea what in the world it is. Like, what is Whoville? Or something like that. Like, you have no idea what it is. It's just a bunch of mixes of different words and stuff, but people still read it anyway. So, and I know a lot of people...
The genius is in the instrument. What he describes the instrument that the Whoville plays.
What about the Whoville?
If the instruments, when Boris Karloff narrating it, describes it's Seussian, the instruments that they play. That's the genius there.
Yeah, all the different instruments and stuff. I remember when you read that part and stuff that it's always is just like, but it's like we were saying, if it's more of some kind of fantasy or something like that, more fictional kind of poem, it's okay to use words that you wouldn't, like, may not be a word or something like that, or like... Or just something like that.
Yeah, a little more freer.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you, Deb and Hatter, for the comments. And Deb, what shows do we have coming up? I'm looking on the board. Like, I know probably has a show tomorrow.
Well, actually, Weed is out of town. Her show will be next week, and her and Hatter are going to cover some lost Salvador Dali artwork that has to do with Wonderland. So that is something to look forward to when Tweet gets back. And on Friday night, it's Hatter and Steven at 11 p.m. for the Man Cave, and they are talking about ghosts. So that should be a fun show. And with AP in the hospital, we won't be doing a normal Saturday show, but Hatter wants to do something, maybe open poetry, but only if you call or send a SoundCloud. We're not really going to read for people. We'll just talk and stuff like that. And speaking of AP, speedy recovery. And Sunday you'd have to check the adult room to see what the next topic might be. That's every Sunday at 10 to 12 with the Pretty Sweet Teas. And Monday night at 10 p.m. I have some really cool watercolor art on the board. I know you got yours, Crystal. You took Dorothy and Toto. And that should be fun. I'm looking forward to see what everyone does. You guys always blow me away. And this is Rebecca Jenkins' artwork. And then I put this mega word bank. I don't even know how many words there are there. A ton. And Wayne Gent promises to write a poem including all those word bank words. So how about that?
I've got to read Wayne on Monday.
I know, right?
That's because I was overwhelmed when I, like, because you even just put it on their mega word bank, and I looked down, I was like, oh, it can't be that. I kept scrolling and scrolling, and I was like, okay, this is a lot. But, like,
I was just trying to come up with, you know what it is? Excuse me. This is my entire crayon box, which means there's almost 200, there's like 224, something like that, 224 colors. So he's going to try to thread all 224 into there. So check him out Monday, everyone. And great show, Crystal.
Thank you, Deb. No, that's definitely going to be a big poem because I know that I definitely feel like I had a variety of colors, so it's going to be interesting. But yeah, those are the shows that are coming up. And thank you everyone for joining this show, and I'll have the next one in October. I'll have to look at the board whenever that one is. But yeah. I'm going to try and come up with some more interesting. I know everybody probably was wondering why I haven't done any Guess That Poet or any of those and stuff like that. I figured just doing some more simpler shows right now and stuff, like still getting in the transition of changing jobs and things, and even though it's been like almost even more than 2 months. So, yeah. But I'm guessing that's it, because I can't think of anything else to say. Except
all right, well, Crystal, just a heads up, your October date for all your listeners will be the 13th, Wednesday the 13th. And look forward to see what you come up with for us to write about. And if you have any interest, you might want to get a hold of Sweet Pea when she gets back next week, because obviously the last week of October is Halloween week, and Sweet Pea will be out of town. And if you are interested in doing a Halloween show, I won't ask anybody else's until you get to talk to her, unless you're not interested, and then I'll try to, you know, just because it's Halloween week, we usually don't cover for Thursday, so just let me know.
Okay, I may be. I'll have to see about Halloween week, because I may be a very busy bee with Halloween week, especially working with kids, because it's Halloween week. They're going to be wired full of candy for Halloween. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's different. We'll find out. But
makes total sense. Well, then just jot down. Don't worry about that at all, but just jot down the 13th so that you can make your plan for whatever it is that you will dazzle us with next month. And again, great show. It's nice hearing you and hanging out with you, and love and respect.
And thank you, everyone, for calling in, reading everything. Your poems were amazing. Everybody's amazing. It's great talking to everybody. So, yeah, you better say love and respect, because I can't take it from you.
I would be more than happy to take Halloween night. Love and respect.
Night, everyone. All right.
Good night, everyone.
All right. Hi, Deb.